portion, part of it that was, actually it was read, part of it was read by Anna today. And we're going to pick up in Numbers chapter 21, beginning in verse 4. It says, "But the people grew impatient on the way, and they spoke against God and against Moses and said, 'Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the desert? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food.'" Now, we call this the wilderness mantra, which is, why ain't things better? Let's all say that together. Why ain't things better? That's the wilderness mantra, because that's what the people continued to say. It's interesting, we had a, growing up, when my children were growing up, we got this little picture Bible for them, and which we actually encouraged that the some of the young marrieds get for their children. And in it, as they go through the wilderness experience, it seems like there's always one guy who's always complaining about no food and no water. He continues to pop up again, page after page. It's the same guy. So we used to laugh through it, but that is the wilderness mantra. In this particular event, though, is that God brought judgment on the people for complaining, and he sent poisonous snakes into their midst and started killing some of the people. And the people began to cry out to the Lord. And this time, God had a unique solution, which was, he told Moses to build a bronze snake, or make a bronze snake and put it on a pole and hold it up, and that everyone who was bitten by a snake were to look to that bronze snake, that was that image, and they would be healed. They wouldn't die from it, and so forth. It's a very curious and unusual request. In fact, the rabbis throughout the years struggled with this, because it looks like an image. In other words, it says in the Ten Commandments, you shall not make images which people worship. So it does appear to be the case. But we never can really question what the Lord was. And we're not going to really examine why he made the snake. That's for another message. But we want to look at really what happened. And what happens is explained 600 years later during the time of King Hezekiah. Hezekiah was ridding the land of idolatry. And the scripture says that Hezekiah smashed this bronze snake. And the reason was because people were worshiping it, just the great fear. In fact, they even had a name for it. It was called Nehushtan, which kind of means bronze or whatever. And so the idea was that God was the one who authored it, and yet it became the very stumbling block for the people. And it's odd because, like I said, the Lord designed it, he authored it. It was a tool for salvation in the beginning, but it became a false god. It became a god to the people. The scriptures put a tremendous emphasis on serving the God of Israel and rejecting other gods. In fact, the scriptures actually treat other gods differently depending on the situation. At times, the scriptures seem to recognize that there are other gods around the world, but that the God of Israel is the greatest. That's known, as it's written in your bulletin, as henotheism. The idea that there is one great God, but there's actually lesser gods. And that is, the best example of that is portrayed at the Song of the Sea, when Moses carried the people through the Red Sea, and he sings the well-known song, Micha Mocha, which says, "Who among the gods is like you, O Lord?" So in other words, there's some recognition that there may be other gods out there. But at other times, the scripture focuses that there's actually only one God, after all. And that is what's called absolute monotheism. And that's exemplified in the prophet Isaiah, chapter 44, where the Lord says through Isaiah, "I am the first and I am the last. Apart from me, there is no God." So regardless of whether there are other gods that exist or not, there is a constant battle for human allegiance between the one true God and all the other gods of the world. It's interesting because in the letter of John, the first letter of John, this is one of the last written parts of the New Testament. His last verse in that book from 1 John 5:21 says, "Dear children, keep yourselves from idols," false gods. So the question is, what is a god? And a god really is, it's one to whom we show allegiance. It's one we worship or we serve. And it's one to whom we relinquish control of our lives too. That is what a god is. Now, I would say that all of us battle with gods. Probably the most The greatest example of gods that people bow, that people serve or people are bound to, are those who struggle with addictions. And there's really a lot of addictions out there, as we probably know. There's alcohol, there's drugs, there's sex, there's gambling, there's food. And these addictions can be all-consuming and all-controlling, and they become a god to the people that are bound to them. But I would also say that sometimes there are other things out there that we live with that really are simply tools for better living that can become a god. In other words, that these tools can take control of our lives. Let me give you an example. Excuse me. An example of this is what I would call... Yes? No, I do not want to donate to the Skull and Crossbones Society. The god of the ubiquitous cell phone. Right? Anywhere, anytime. That's the cell phone. Isn't that the case? It's omnipresent. Anywhere, any place, right? Omnipresent. Everywhere. Isn't that how we define it? And we can't live without it now. That's what's amazing. It's a great tool, no question, to stay in touch with people literally all over the world. But here's some questions for you about the ubiquitous cell phone. How much does it cost you? How much does it cost you on a monthly basis? Number two, does its ringing interrupt other occasions? Oops, right? Do you answer it when you're talking to other people? And then, what do you tell your children when they interrupt you and you're talking to someone else? And yet, we answer the phone when we're talking to other people. Isn't that a little odd? That seems strange to me. Here's a challenge to see if it's a god in your life. Number one. Oops. Somebody trying to... Oh, yeah, better turn this baby off because... Don't want any more tricks here. No more tricks. Okay. Number one. Can you leave it in a car when you're at a meeting? Do you have the guts to do it? Number two, can you not answer it when talking to other people? Or even turn off the ringer when you're actually talking to others? Wow, how innovative. And do you have to bring it in here? Isn't that amazing? I mean, who is God here, right? I mean, otherwise we come in, but I know you bring it in here because I hear it ring every week. And it's not usually my phone that's ringing, right? I hear it ring. So why bring it in here? I mean, who is really the Lord? Is it really omnipresent? It is if you let it be. There's no question about it. How about computers, right? How about computers? What happened here? What happened here, right? It's taking over my life. I can't control it, but what's happening? It's controlling me. That's what happens with computers. They're a tool, no question about it. Who's seen the Terminator movies? Raise your hand if you've seen the Terminator movies. Okay. What happened in that situation? Machines took over the world. We created them. And it's a great tool for communicating and accessing knowledge all over the world. But they become omnipotent and omniscient, all-powerful and all-knowing. And isn't that the definition of a god? I mean, really, let's put it down there. You know, someone told me just recently, I don't remember who it was, but they actually saw their father on a computer somewhere else in the world because satellite imagery was shining down on them and showed them right outside their front door. Wow. I mean, that's fascinating, but it's also kind of scary at the same time. And then there's the GPS computer situation. Isn't it interesting? A pleasant voice is telling you where to go. In 300 yards, you will, 300 yards, turn left. Now, 100 feet, turn right. And then it even corrects you in a pleasant voice. Isn't that interesting? Now, when you get to the next light, turn around. And make a right 100 feet from now. Isn't that right? Isn't that interesting? It directs our paths, it tells us where to go, and then if we don't have it, suddenly we're lost. It's like we don't know where we are. Isn't that kind of a definition of a God of sorts? Now here's a challenge for you. Real challenge. How about on Shabbat that we refrain from using our computers and turning off our phones? I'd say at least try it once. Try it at least once. I'm not saying that we have to do it, right? But rather, why don't we give our day to the Lord and to those around about us who are fellowship with and show who really is God on his day, on the Sabbath day? Can you do it? I'm actually a part of a group of rabbis up in the Northeast who have agreed that they will not use the computer at all on Shabbat. Now, I haven't gotten there yet, I have to admit it, but that's the point. So, but my challenge is, let's try it. Let's see how much it's really controlling our lives or not. Computer technology is a great tool, there's no question, but it can become a god, just like all these other kinds of things can be. Now, let's talk about social networking sites. Lord have mercy. Facebook and MySpace and other things like that. Again, great way to communicate, right? See photos, catch up with old acquaintances from the past you haven't seen for many years, no question about it. But often they become a running commentary on one's personal life, and you reveal things openly about yourself that in the past hardly anyone would ever have known about it. That's what happens on these sites. This is what Yeshua says, interestingly, in Matthew chapter 10. He says, "There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known." Now, of course, he's speaking about the end time, no question about it, when the Lord is going to reveal everything so that we've tried to hide. But you see, God is just, and he will treat us accordingly. But others are not so much like that. And so what happens is that we reveal things about ourselves that others will use for their advantage against you and me. That's what often happens when you, because knowledge is power. And too much knowledge about you in the hands of other people gives the power over you. That's what happens. We have to be careful about stuff like that. Is it a tool or is it a god? That's the real question. What about the old days of private journaling or a diary, where not the whole world sees what your private thoughts are, but you and the Lord? That's the way I would think things should be done. And then there's the famous HDTVs. So clear, so real. I mean, they're great. Now they're coming out with the 3D approach. You put on the little glasses and it's like you're in a virtual world. I mean, it is, it's really amazing. But here's my question, how much time do you spend in front of it? And then for most of us, do you realize that these big TVs are in our main living space, family rooms, living rooms, all the seating is arrayed around it, just like a worship setting, right? And we're all like, bow down to the TV. Isn't that what it's like? What does it say about allegiance or worship? I don't know. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not against technology. I don't have an HDTV, but I have these other things, or so on, although I'm not on Facebook. but anyway, I'm not against technology or modernization at all. I think they're wonderful tools. I'm just trying to raise an awareness so that when we mock those in the biblical era for serving idols, that we recognize that we do the same thing. It's just in a more sophisticated way, but that we're actually battling the same thing that they battled back in the Ancient of Days. It's like the book of Ecclesiastes said, there's nothing new under the sun. It's really true. Here's what Yeshua says. He says from Matthew 6, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and dust do not destroy or rust and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is going to be also." Technology is like the bronze snake, right? It should be a tool, but it can also become a god. We have to watch it in our modern era. Now, just like Ken did, I'm going to have all the fathers stand up because we're going to do something for you. So all the fathers, stand to your feet. Now, the children are going to give you a gift, but I need to explain this gift. Hopefully, the children are out there. And you see them out there? Now, the children are going to give you a gift, and you might laugh about this gift. In fact, it is kind of funny. Okay, kids, whoever's standing up, you need to give this gift too. So go on out there, run out there, get the gifts to all the standing fathers, and then as soon as you get this gift, you need to sit down. But I'm going to explain this gift. This is an electric toothbrush. And the reason I'm giving you this electric toothbrush is that 2 weeks ago I went to the dentist, and the dentist said, he said, you know, you brush your teeth too hard, and you're wearing down the enamel, and you need to get an electric toothbrush. He said, it's better for you, it's better for your teeth, and it does a really good job, and so forth, and he said, it protects your teeth. And so we believe in good hygiene here, and so we want to protect your teeth to be men of God into the future. So children, wherever you see a standing man, you need to give him a gift, and as soon as you get that gift, you need to sit down. Oh, thank you very much, but I won't sit down. All right, it's a special, I already got one, thank you. Go ahead and give it to others, though. So find those that are standing, all the standing fathers. There's a few in the back, a few over in there on the side. All right, get all the gifts to the fathers. All right, and in the way in the back, up on the booth, in the back, you got to go all the way back there. There's still some fathers standing. Okay, I know there's more gifts in there. Let's hurry up. Let's get them out there. We don't want to spend the rest of the night here. All right, let's go. Let's go all the way in the back, all the way up on the sound booth, way up there. Back in the sound booth. Come on, kids. Don't be sleeping. Just get somebody back there. Sound booth, sound booth. Kids, just somebody take the gifts back there. Let's take it from the little ones. Just go. All right, do we got them all? Is everybody, what about Jerry back there? Has everybody got one? Okay, it shouldn't be taking this long. Someone, don't saunter, run. No sauntering, run. Okay, there's still somebody in the back. Don't we have any more? All right, here comes, there's one in the back, one guy in the back. Where's the last gift? Okay, this is weird. What's happened here? No more? All right. Sorry, Jerry. You can have mine if you want. All right, all the fathers stand back up. We're going to pray for you. All right. All the fathers stand up. Now, those around about the fathers, let's lay your hands on them. Lord, we thank you for each of these fathers, Lord. Lord, this is a generation where there's absentee fatherism, Lord God. And Father, we pray that fathers will be here. The fathers here will become model fathers, Lord. That Father, where there's a breach between these fathers and sons and daughters, Lord, that you will heal the breach in the name of Yeshua, Lord. Father, where there's a breach between these fathers and their fathers, like myself, Lord, that you will heal the breach, O Lord, and that you will bring reconciliation. Lord, help us, help these fathers to exemplify the life of Yeshua, the fatherhood of God in Yeshua's name to their children, Lord, whether they're adult or just infants, Lord God. Father, they will become models of Yeshua in the children's lives, so they can grow up with a strong father image, oh God. We bless them in Yeshua's name. And Lord, we also receive the words that were spoken today, Lord God, to help us serve you and you alone and not the idols in our lives. And in Yeshua's name we pray. Amen and amen. And let me close with the Aaronic benediction. Yareranai panavilecha vihuneheka. Isaranai panavilecha viyasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace through the Prince of Peace, through Yeshua the Messiah.